Tonight, we're going to talk about conflict resolution. Yes, conflict resolution. Does anybody in here have any, does not have any conflicts? Does not. Is there anyone in here who has never had a conflict? Never, baby? My wife and I, my wife and I have been together for 27 years. And we're still learning each other. And no matter how long you've been together, whether it be 5 months, 5 years, 25 years, there is always going to be something that comes up that will cause a conflict in the relationship. And tonight we're going to kind of go through a couple of things that have been found to be distinctive in causing conflicts. We're going to define what they are. Then we're going to give some brief resolutions to help resolve those conflicts. Now, keep in mind, this is not all-inclusive, okay? This is just a precursor, okay, of what you can do when conflict arises. Amen? Amen. James 4, 1 and 2. We are all familiar with this. What causes fights and quarrels among us? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, exactly what is conflict? It's defined as something that takes place when one person's needs aren't being met. Would you agree with that? Yeah? When the irritation towards your mate or your mate's irritation towards you escalates enough, conflict enters a marriage. That means that there is something present that is hurting the marriage. It could be something very small. It could be something enormous. But whenever there's an irritation between one of the spouses, conflict comes in. This causes one spouse to lose good feelings about the other and take on negative feelings. And then from there, arguments and unhappiness result. Right? Tonight, we're going to look at some of the causes of conflict. And again, this isn't all-inclusive. These are just some of the major things that we found are culprits. The first is selfish demands. And we're gonna, as we go along, give a little definition of what they are, and then some resolutions. Disrespectful judgments. It's another thing that causes conflict in marriage. Angry outbursts. Dishonesty. Annoying habits. Yes. The picking of the nose, you know, the snoring, you know. You know. And then independent behavior. It's a big one. We're going to first look at selfish demands. Selfish demands are misguided efforts to resolve marital conflicts. They might work in the short term, but overall, after a while, once you think you've gotten your way, in the long run, it doesn't work. All right? It may work the first time, it may even work the second time, but as time goes on and you continue to try to get these demands, make these selfish demands, the other spouse is going to say, uh-uh. It's not going to happen. What does it look like? Resolution. First of all, when you make your request, make the tone be pleasant. It's always great to have an atmosphere of peace and calmness in order for you to try to get your point across. All right? do not show disrespect or even become angry. And we're going to talk about anger a little bit more as we go along. Don't do these things. If you reach an impasse, okay, set it aside. Come back to it later. That's always a good solution, all right? How would you feel about your spouse's request, about fulfilling your spouse's request? Think about it. Don't just make a snap decision. Think about what the demand is and take a few minutes to think about it. If your spouse agrees, you're golden, okay? But if not, then take the time and come back to it. But don't let it go by the wayside. Brainstorm. Brainstorm, it says, with abandon. Think about it. Continue to think about it. Continue to talk to your wife about it. The setting is so important, though. It can't be a hostile setting. It can't be a setting where one person is angry or has just become angry, and now you want to sit down and talk about it. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It has to be a calm environment. It has to be an environment where you both can communicate with one another on a level playing field, okay? Write down a plan. Write down the pros and cons of what could happen, all right, in the demand that you're making. Choose a way for your spouse to fulfill your request with mutual and enthusiastic agreement. In other words, make sure your spouse is happy about it, all right? And if you've done that, guess what? You fulfilled that demand and you turned it around. It's called persuasion, okay? It's called positive persuasion. You can always get a, what's the expression, honey versus vinegar? You know, you can draw a person with honey rather than vinegar. So it's always important to meet that person, meet your spouse on a level playing field in a calm environment, and your tone plays a big part in how you get your demand across or how you get your request across. That is so important. Next thing we're going to talk about is overcoming disrespectful judgments. And at any time, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask, okay? Because, again, this is interactive. I'm going to ask you a couple of things as we go along. But right now, we're going to talk about disrespectful judgments. And what actually is disrespectful judgment? It happens when someone tries to impose a system of values and beliefs on someone else. One way to avoid them is to replace them with respectful persuasion. Now, what does that look like? Respectful persuasion. Again, the environment that you're in has to be a pleasant environment. It can't be any hostility between either spouse. It has to be a time where there's peace and calm, and no children if you have children. Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, too, because children knows how to play mommy against daddy, okay? Trust me, and they learn at a very early age how to do it, and they do it well. So make sure that the environment that you're in is a quiet environment, a calm, peaceful environment, and there are no children around. Again, make sure that when the conversation begins, there is no disrespect between the two of you. Make sure there's no anger between the two of you, and that if you can't come to a solution, come back to it, all right? Express your conflicting opinions to each other with respect and understanding. You can talk about it. Hon, I'm not particularly going along with this. Well, let's talk about it. What don't you like about it? Or what is it that you feel can help resolve the situation? Always get that input, because, again, it goes back to that brainstorming. Two heads are better than one, all right? You don't want to try to impose your values on your spouse. And also, I talked about children earlier. Here's another very important thing to consider. Make sure that parents are not involved either. The in-laws, who can have a certain persuasion on a particular group in the discussion, make sure they are not involved either. A man will leave his father and mother, and the two become one. Okay? So, children, parents, whether it be your parents or your in-laws, don't need to be involved in that decision-making process. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you, that caused a lot of friction. A lot of friction. All right? Another thing you can do, explain how your opinion might be in your spouse's behavior. I mean, best interest. That makes sense? Show them a value of why you feel that way. And they say, oh, you're right. That does make sense. Let's try it that way and see what happens, okay? And test it. Test the value of your opinion. Well, is that a good idea? Is that just an excuse to get out of the situation? Test it to see if it's beneficial to you. And then, if your spouse agrees, boom, you've won it. Conflict resolved. It's over and done with. You know. And here's another thing I want to share with you. Once it's resolved, don't go back to it. Don't bring it up again. It's done. Over. That's the mistake that a lot of couples make. They'll bring up the past. Well, remember when? No, it's over and done with. It was buried July 13, 2018. Done. If there can be no resolution at the time, let it go for now. Come back to it. It doesn't necessarily have to be resolved right then and there. It can happen. Well, let's think about this some more, and let's come back to it. Don't try to force a resolution, because if you force it, then guess what? You haven't resolved anything. The conflict still exists. It's just part B now instead of part A. We're going to talk about angry outbursts. I'm not going to even give a definition for this because it's self-explanatory. Angry outburst. What is an angry outburst? Anybody? Zach? That's a good one. Did everybody hear what he said? You're just like your mother. Anybody else? Now, let me preface it by saying this. Okay, Michelle's not here, so okay, amen. I don't want you to say anything that's going to cause conflict and that which has to be resolved later on, okay? So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Angry outbursts. But this is the big one. You know, the Bible tells us in our anger, do not sin. Even God was angry. God became angry. But even God's anger is a righteous anger. Okay? So, I'm not saying that you will not get angry. It's how you respond when you're angry. Okay? And angry outbursts doesn't necessarily have to be verbal. They can be visible by expression. All right? My wife tells me all the time, you need to change your face. She does. Because I express my emotions visually instead of verbally. I don't get mad. Let me rephrase that. When I get mad, I don't verbalize it. but you can tell by my facial expressions, all right? So angry outbursts doesn't necessarily have to be verbal. They can also be forms of expression. Body language is another way that outbursts can be, angry outbursts can exist, all right? Let's look at some ways. The first step is to acknowledge that you and only you determine if you have an angry outburst. No one can make you have an angry outburst. It's all up to you. It's how you respond with against the about the situation. Okay? And once you get that on, then it helps you to control your temper. All right? Let's look at some ways we can resolve angry outbursts. Each spouse needs to discuss what conditions, physical conditions, people, behavior, or any other relevant condition that causes the outburst. It could be children, could be parents, could be the job, could be someone on the job. It could be a number of things which may cause you to just blow up. Okay? Jeff, you gonna say something? Traffic? That's a condition. Hey, absolutely. Becky?
It usually involves something that you feel is out of your control.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. It usually fuels from something that's out of your control. Okay? And then we show it either by shouting out or, now, baby, I'm gonna share this, okay? My wife talks to other drivers in the car. Now, they can't hear her, of course. I say, baby, why do you talk? They can't hear you, you know. But amen, you know. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of us do that, you know. Again, like I said, they can be verbal, they can be physical outbursts, they can be emotional outbursts, believe it or not. Gestures are another way of expressing angry outbursts. You know, a lot of times when we're driving, we'll get it from the other driver. You get particular hand signals and things like that, right? So yeah, I mean, they can come in a number of ways, but the key is how we respond, all right? What changes in the condition described would help you avoid the outburst? For example, let's say the twins were in their playpen. You leave them to go into the kitchen. One of the twins gets out of the playpen. The next thing you know, the pot of plant that was sitting on the corner is no longer sitting on the plant stand. It's all on the ground. How do you respond? Could it have been, well, maybe you could have taken the kids with you or put the kids to sleep first before you went into the kitchen? You know, conditions, what the situation may be, all right? You have to look at things like that. Describe your plan to change these conditions with one another. Whatever is causing the outbursts, whether it be people, whether it be situations, for example, driving. Maybe putting on some calm music as you're driving could help. Maybe if you're driving with someone, talking to the other person rather than being focused on the actual traffic and being stuck in traffic and not moving in traffic or whatever the case may be. You have to look at the conditions that surround you, that you're involved in, and then make the, you know, come up with a solution that will help you avoid the angry outbursts. That makes sense? Keep a diary to measure your level of success. In other words, I had an angry outburst on Monday at 2:30 p.m. while I was watching the Cubs lose to the Milwaukee Brewers. On Tuesday, I had an angry outburst when dinner wasn't on the table and I expected it at 5:30 p.m. You know, things like that. Keep a diary. Keep track of when you have these angry outbursts. And then prayerfully, as you continue, as you see when these outbursts occur, maybe you can change the situation. You can avoid those situations that will help you to avoid the angry outbursts. If the outburst continues, get some help. Because something's going on in the relationship that continues to have you have these outbursts. And if they continue after you and your spouse have addressed them, then something's wrong. Something is terribly wrong. So you want to make sure that you seek advice. Not from your friends, not from someone who's going to say, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, you'll get it. No, talk to someone who's going to be able to help you overcome the situation, because this will damage a relationship. This will kill a relationship. All right, let's talk about dishonesty. That's another big one that causes marital discord. It's something that, whether you believe it or not, can cause huge friction and can also end up in divorce. What is the rule of honesty? Is to reveal to your spouse as much information about yourself as you know. Your thoughts, your feelings, your habits, your likes, your dislikes, personal history, daily activity, and plans for the future. And look what the definition of dishonesty is: the failure to keep any part of this rule. When we do marriage dynamics, we find that this particular conflict is huge. And I'm going to share with you, even me, each time we do marriage dynamics, I always find myself having to change in one area or another because I'm not always open with my wife. You have to be open and honest about everything. There's a thing that we talk about in marriage dynamics called being a protective liar, meaning you will not tell your spouse something in order to, quote unquote, protect her, thinking they may not be able to handle it. Well, my wife was even more madder for me not telling her than me trusting her enough to tell her what the situation was. Okay? It's very important. Dishonesty is not sharing everything with your spouse. Your spouse should be your best friend. You should be able to tell your spouse anything and everything. And if you can't, then that is not an open relationship. Okay? That is probably the key to dishonesty. Now let's look at some ways we could overcome dishonesty. Describe your dishonesty, including a description of your feelings, your thoughts and attitudes, and the way that you are dishonest. That takes humility. There has to be humility in the relationship. There has to be humility in order to resolve any conflict. All right? Without that, you might as well just forget it, because you're spinning your wheels. Because what's going to happen is going to continue to happen and happen over and over and over again, maybe not right away, but down the road, and you react to it the same way, and boom. Now you have big problems. Describe the conditions that seem to trigger your dishonesty. Is it a particular situation? Do you feel pressured about something, or is something going on in your life that's causing you to feel this way, that you can't be open with your spouse, talk to your spouse about it. Look at the situation that's causing that, and then try to overcome that particular situation. What changes in conditions would help you avoid being dishonest? Again, is there something that I'm doing every day? Is there something that I look at every day? Is there something that I'm involved with every day that's causing me to be dishonest, that's not allowing me to be open with my spouse? There has to be, you know, you want to look at that. You want to find out what it is. Your spouse loves you, no matter what you're going through. And your spouse is there to help you. They want to help you. But if you're not open enough to let them, to share with them what's going on with your life or what's going on with you, then they can't. And then therefore, you're not going to be able to be resolved. Your spouse is going to be upset with you. And that can go on for days, weeks, months. A lot of folks have not recovered from that because of not being open and honest with one another. So, describe your plans to change these conditions and include a deadline to make the change. Hon, I'm sorry. I want you to be able to trust me in each and every situation. This is what I'm going to do to help myself, and this is what I need for you to do to help me as well. It takes two. Although one spouse may be the dishonest person, it takes two people to make it happen. It takes humility on the dishonest individual. It takes trust and patience with the other. If there is no patience in the relationship, then trust won't happen. And trust is probably the most vital part of a relationship. You have to trust one another. If your plans to succeed fail, seek advice right away. Don't wait. Dishonesty can ruin a marriage. Dishonesty will ruin a marriage. We have to be open and honest with one another. The next thing we want to talk about is annoying habits. I hear a lot of I was going to ask, okay, who wants to name some annoying habits, but I better not do that either. Because come on, Paul, you got one? I'm sure that everyone in here, every husband and every wife, has some type of annoying habit to the other. I can almost guarantee it, all right? The question is, how do you overcome it? Some can be overcome right away. Some takes time, okay? I'm gonna mention any annoying habits because I don't want any, I want folks to come into marriage dynamics, don't misunderstand, okay? But some of the ways that you can overcome annoying habits, identify and describe the habit. That means communication. You have to talk to one another. Hun, sweetheart, whatever you call your spouse, I just want to share this with you. This is bothering me, okay? And I want to sit down and talk about it to see if we can get some help with it, all right? Identify it. Understand the background and nature of the habit. It could be something from childhood that they bring into the marriage, okay? It could be innocent, but it's just enough to annoy the other spouse, all right? It could be anything. It could be the nose picking, you know, and the flinging, right? It could be the passing of gas during dinner or something like that. You know what I mean? And people relate. I see y'all getting reaction from that. So folks are relating to those type of things. All right? Could be anything. Whatever it is that annoys you, talk to your spouse about it. Okay? Identify it. Sit down and talk to your spouse about it. And that way you can get it resolved. Like I said, some habits can be eliminated right away. You know? Take Beano. There'll be no gas. Okay? There are so many things that you can do that will that you can overcome annoying habits. We're going to leave it at that. Amen. For those that can't be eliminated right away, make a plan. Make a plan. You know, it could be something physical. It could be something emotional that's causing the annoying habit. It could be something very personal. Something that, like I said, that could have happened in your childhood. But sit down and talk about it. And come up with a plan to try to overcome that habit. All right? Because if that habit is bad enough, it can cause serious problems. That's all I'm gonna say about that. There has to be a willingness to change. Okay? You just can't say, honey, I'm gonna change. Sweetheart, I'm gonna change. Trust me, I'll get it done. I'll get it done. No. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. You have to want to make that change. Because if you don't, again, the habit will continue. And it may be a habit that could destroy a relationship. All right? So you want to make sure that you address the habit, you identify the habit, and you sit down and talk about it, and you have to want to change that habit. All right. Independent behavior. This is a big one, too. Now, exactly what is independent behavior? The condition of one spouse that ignores the feelings and interest of the other. That's a big one. This is a big one. You do something without sharing it with your spouse. Huge. I can't think of the times that I've gotten in trouble for doing things that I didn't share with my wife. And I had to repent. I had to let my wife know what I'm doing before I do it. We sit down and talk about it now. But this is the big one. Identify the instance of a behavior. Think about what causes you to have this behavior and to do it. Create interdependent behavior to take its place, which means it's going to include both spouses. That means communication. That means, hon, I'm going to the store. I saw this great thing on Amazon that I want to get. What do you think? She agrees? Psh, done deal. If there's a disagreement, well, honey, I don't think you need this right now. Okay. Then it's not that time. Okay. Hon, I want to get this new dress. Well, hon, you bought a new dress last week. And the week before, and the week before, and the week before. No, we don't need it right now. No, we don't need it right now. Okay. If you agree to it, boom. It's the fact of doing something without communicating with your spouse. That's what independent behavior is. All right? Here's the big one. Again, your child comes in. Mommy, can I have some ice cream? No. Before that. Yes, you can have some. Dad comes in the room. Why is Johnny eating ice cream and I told him he couldn't have it? They do that very well. Mommy made the decision to give the ice cream to the child without checking with dad first. Our kids used to try that until we got wise to them. One of the greatest answers that you can come up with, did you talk to your other parent? Did you talk to your dad? Because generally children will go to mom because moms are generally a little bit easier than dads are. Generally. Now, that's not always the rule, but generally. But the fact is that we need to communicate with each other before a decision is made, all right? That's the whole point of the thing. Introduce the conflict and try to understand each other's perspective. Well, Glenn, why did you go out there on Amazon and buy that new tablet that you didn't need? You know, think about it. Sit down and talk about how you could have overcome that. Well, I didn't need it to begin with, pure and simple. All right? Brainstorm. Again, think of mutually agreeable alternatives to the independent behavior. What could I have done? What could you have done? What could we have done to avoid this type of behavior? The goal is to find a behavior activity that addresses the reasons that the independent behavior exists. There is something that's causing one to think independently rather than working together to come up with a mutual agreement. So try to find out what that is. Those are some of the things that causes conflicts in marriage. There are others as well, but those are just some of the resolutions that you can use to overcome the things that we talked about, the angry outburst, the independent behavior, the selfish demands, the dishonesty. Here are some other passages that can help us to resolve conflict in the marriage. Would someone like to read Ephesians 4, 26 through 32? Who has that one? Let's see. Yes, sir.
In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, and they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to those who are in need. That is better for those who are
Amen. That covers everything right there, basically. Anger, malice, selfish demands, disrespectful behavior, independent behavior rather, disrespectful judgments. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Eliminate those things, malice, anger, because those are the things that cause this disruption in the marriage. Amen? Amen. Amen. Humility. Think of one another as equal. Think of one another as one, being one in Christ and being one in marriage. Amen. The peace of Christ ruling your hearts. Again, humility, loving one another, looking at one another as you love Christ. Amen.
Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it.
Amen. Are you seeing a common theme here? Everything that's been mentioned so far, humility, patience, bearing with one another, eliminating angry outbursts. All these things are what keeps marriages together. And of course,
but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Amen. If we're applying the fruits of the Spirit in our marital relationships, when conflicts do arise, we will know how to handle them. And then one more.
Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
Amen. Taming that tongue. Once we do that, once we learn how to do that, when conflicts do arise, we'll be able to overcome them in a righteous manner. Amen. And in conclusion, there's still time to sign up for Marriage Dynamics. Amen? So, that's a great class, and I encourage married couples to take it. Amen? Amen. You are dismissed.